Welcome to the Making Jobs podcast, where we talk about car repair, business ownership, and everything in between. I'm your host, Matt Hernandez, founder and owner of Matt's Mobile Mechanics.
And I'm your co-host, Tyler Schultz with Witness Security.
So without further ado, let's get the show on the road. Welcome back, job makers.
Morning.
Welcome back. Once again, getting into the groove of it, getting it figured out.
It was, 3 weeks ago?
Yes. I did, however, while I was looking through files and stuff last night, getting ready for this morning, I realized that I had an unreleased episode. So when this one releases, there'll actually be one right before it.
It's going to be way behind.
Yeah,
the
that
schedule.
One.
Or the release is going to be way behind the times of probably what we talked about.
Yeah. I think, though, I have to re-listen to it, but I think that one, the subject matter, isn't, like, super time-sensitive or anything. It's the last one we recorded.
At least it's not got anything to do with peanuts in our Coke.
Yeah. So the listeners...
Peanuts in our Coke.
Peanuts. The listeners will only have... They won't have a long gap. They'll have a long gap before the last one, so... But I'll be releasing that one. So this one will, you know, by the time they hear this, they'll be like, oh, it's only been a week, you know. The last one was the one that had the big time gap. Well, between gas prices being really high, I have to be more conscientious about my schedule. I have to be smart about it. Otherwise, I'm not profitable.
And he's really worried about doing recorded call where he calls me, sets up the recording studio, and calls me, and we have our conversation over phone.
So
I mean, he and I have every bit of an hour long conversation about once a week.
Yeah,
so we could record that call, but he won't do that.
There's two problems with that. One, I'm not a fan of the audio quality problem, but if the listeners are fine with it, sure, and they could just not listen to it if they don't, that's great. But also, second problem, I have to get a new phone before I can do that because my Lightning port is gummed up. And so
you've been saying that for a year and a half.
I've been needing a new phone for a year and a half.
So just make it happen, Captain.
I don't have an Apple store in Shakota, okay? When I'm in Tulsa, the last thing...
You need an Apple store.
It's better to trade your phone in at Apple. Like, you get substantially more for your trade-in through Apple than AT&T. And I have... When dealing with Apple, it is a much, much smoother process...
Is it?
...than dealing with AT&T when upgrading your phone. They always have the toughest time figuring out how to work the account. And this phone that I have right now is a 64-gigabyte. I told the guy I wanted 128-gigabyte. My old phone was a 64-gigabyte. I wanted more memory.
You want more space?
I wanted more space. At the AT&T store.
You want more wiggle room.
I bought this phone.
Wiggle, wiggle.
I bought this phone, and it wasn't until, Brandon just texted me. He's like, are we working today? Like, I already left. A little late for the bike.
I sure am working today.
Yeah, man. I've been in Tulsa already. You haven't even freaking put your shirt on, probably. Anyways, yeah, so I told him I wanted a 64 or a 128 gigabyte, and he said, yeah, 128, and I said, yeah, and I said, in that color and whatever. So it wasn't until, like, 2 days later I realized I had a 64-gigabyte phone. Because I was
charge
talking about...
You for a 128?
No, I checked the receipt. I got charged for... Otherwise, I would have been going back. But at this point, I was like, well, I've already logged into this phone. I already went through the experience. It was like 2 days later. I was like, I don't want to go back and be like, hey, I want to pay you more money to deal with that terrible experience again. You know? So I was like, well, I guess I just have a 64-gigabyte phone. Because I that's what I paid for, so I was fine with it, I guess.
I mean, how long ago did you
It was almost 2 years ago. I can trade my phone. I don't know anything.
So you've had Lightning port problems for a year and a half, and you bought the phone 2 years ago?
I generally do. Unless I buy the phone and immediately put it in a case that covers the Lightning port, my pockets get so dusty and dirty that it always jacks up the Lightning ports. And mind you, this phone's been through two hunting seasons as well. Or three. It's been through three hunting seasons.
So you've had it for longer than 2 years.
No. It will be 3 hunting seasons by the time. This will be the 3rd hunting season.
Okay.
Now, the last 2 hunting seasons haven't been as intense, but I have still been out in the woods, you know. And so crap gets in the port. Unless I get a case that covers that port.
Are you putting crap in your pockets?
No, but, you know, sometimes I work on a farm. So, you know, crap gets in weird places. So, farm update. I have next year's pork chops arrived.
Cool.
Piglets were born this week. So.
I was thinking that's what you were saying, but I'm sitting here going, maybe that's not what he's talking about.
So far this year, we've had 9 piglets born. That was this week. 2 calves. Well, 3 calves have been born. 1 was a stillbirth, though.
So the 9 piglets, did your farm produce the piglets?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
First piglets born on Pecan Ranch.
That's pretty cool.
So they'll be the first pork chops that are, from start to finish, born on the farm and then butchered by me. Well, not by me, by the butcher shop.
You need to make sure you keep one of those so you can say start. I mean, from conception all the way to...
It has occurred, like I've considered the idea of keeping one, butchering it myself to put in my freezer so that I can say that it was, you know, conceived.
Never left the farm.
Born on the farm, raised on the farm, killed on the farm, processed on the farm, in my freezer, never left the farm. Even after death, it wouldn't have leave the farm because I have a septic system, not sewer. So, so even after consumed, they will remain on the farm and turn back into fertilizer for
food for the next
set. Yeah, the circle of life, my friends. No, I've considered it. It's butchering a pig is a lot of work, but one pig is not that big of a deal. So I've considered it. I'm probably going to do that. One of the ones that'll go in my freezer, I'll probably process myself just to say, you know. Now, the calves, on the other hand, I will not. They'll be going to the butcher. I've processed a cow before. That's a lot of work.
That was not fun.
Oh, man, it was so much work.
Well, she was dead, too, already. I mean, she wasn't, like, hanging, was she?
No, but, you know, and she wasn't even a big cow. She was only, like, 800 pounds. And she was lean because she was sick. So an 800-pound cow took me hours to break down, or to quarter. Me and David Foster were out there, and it's crazy, you know, because it's an 800-pound cow. So I'm out there with my hunting knives, a Sawzall, and so we're just out there cutting away. We quarter it in the field, get it to the kitchen, and then we hung out for a while, ate dinner, and they left, and then Alicia and I broke the cuts down from there, because it was quartered on my kitchen. My island looked like a freaking crime scene. My kitchen looked like a crime scene. There's blood everywhere. It was insane. And we're up till 2 a.m. breaking down cuts from the, after, it's already quartered. And it was, and so it took us 3 hours to break down those. And we didn't even do it very professionally either. Like, there was some cuts that could be broken down further. And I was just like, we'll just do this. This will be a stew. I'm like, we'll just throw this in a crock pot. I'm not breaking this down anymore. So that is a lot of work. And I do not recommend that to anybody.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like fun.
And that was a small one. You know, ideal target weight for taking a cow into butcher, like, I'm going to be, like, I like to aim for 1,000 pounds or more live weight. This was a small, she was already a small cow to begin with, and then she was sick. So.
For some reason, I thought cows were, like, between 1,500 and 2,000 pounds.
They are full grown, but they usually take 3 years to get, like, a bull will be 2,000 plus pounds.
That is nuts.
A cow at 3 years of age is usually around 1,500 pounds.
That's why it's so nuts to me. I mean, bulls, those things move with such speed.
A one-ton animal, and it gets to be 1 ton by eating grass. It's a 2,000-pound animal. Oh, and so yesterday we moved the cattle, and it is crazy. You know, my bull he's almost full grown now, and he's still not full grown, and he's about a 1,600-pound animal.
He gets to 2,000 pounds by eating grass and chasing, well.
Mm-hmm. So yesterday we moved the cattle, and because of this drought, they haven't been on fresh grass in probably close to a month now. I've had them up in their winter pasture, and they've been eating hay and feed. And so I've let the other pastures have time to rest. and we've got some rain, and so now that we have rain, we've got some rain to fill up the ponds. I've decided to move them back. We've got some grass to graze on. Well, they got to the trail as soon as they could see fresh grass.
They started running.
They took, because normally when we move them, this is a process. We move them. I have my wife or a child in front leading them with a bucket. And then I'll be in back. I'll have a fiberglass post that I'll use to kind of keep the herd in line. If we get any stragglers, I'll kind of round them up. And so my wife is getting ready to head down the trail to head to the back pasture. She opens up the gate. She hadn't even gone in the gate. The donkey sees it. She takes off running. The rest of the cattle see it. They're running. And the bull, it's so crazy how fast he can move and how agile he can be for the size that he is. But he sees it. And he's like the second to last one in line, and he hasn't even gone down the trail yet, but does a little happy kick first. Like he sends his foot out into the air and then does this like prancing gallop down through this trail, just all over grass. He saw the grass out there, went out there and started eating. They're big animals. So we've got basically a whole bunch of new animals this year. Has been the first year that a lot of animals have been born on the farm, because we had goats introduced, and now we have we had a goat have babies like January or something like that. It was January, February. Then we have piglets and then calves. The ducks were hatched out earlier this spring as well. So, we're at the point where not everything's born yet. I have one cow that's still due to calve. And I have one pig that's getting ready to have piglets in the next month or so. She's ready to pop soon.
Cool. So,
yeah. Lots of fun. It's been busy though. And, you know, I was joking around with you earlier whenever I woke up or whenever I got here, I was like, it's nothing nicer than a 57 degree crisp morning to remind you that you haven't cut this year's firewood for the winter. It's been so busy that I don't even have firewood cut for this winter, and that's how I heat my house primarily. So I'll be burning green wood this year.
I was just thinking, because I know that I've got snakes, and I know that you've got snakes. Mm-hmm. Do you ever have snakes get into your chicken coops?
No. We had one snake that was in the milking area of our goat pen, which is near the chickens, but it... Usually snakes are mostly interested in the eggs from your chickens. So if you're good about collecting your chicken eggs, then you tend to not have a reason for them to want to bother your chickens.
So if you get in there every day and have one of the, actually, I don't know if I would want the kids. If you're keeping the eggs out, then you wouldn't have snakes.
No. And most
hanging
of the
out
snakes,
waiting for the eggs to drop.
Most of the snakes that I encounter out there, like 99% of the snake, actually all of the snakes, 100% of the snakes I've encountered so far out there, they're all non-venomous. The majority of them are rat snakes and king snakes. And they all, and so I don't want to get rid of them because they keep the rodent population in check. And that's good, because I don't want a bunch of field mice and rats and stuff getting into my feed and getting into my house. So when we see the snakes, like we have a snake that took up residence in my feed shed for a while, which, you know, can be spooky for kids or wives when there's a 6-foot snake living in here, but it's a harmless snake and it's hanging out around the feed where I would be the most concerned about rodents getting into and eating my feed for my animals.
And a non-venomous snake's not going to
In fact, it was a king snake that was living in there. I don't know if he's still in there or not. I moved some hay, and so I think I moved his home, and he doesn't stay there anymore. But it was, and king snakes will eat venomous snakes as well. So those are good to have around, because they'll eat water moccasins and stuff.
So I was watching, flipping it through TikTok a couple days ago, and Killian was sitting next to me. And there was this big, fat, black snake that had gotten a hold of, like, the colors were like a rattler or a copperhead, the spotted brown snake. And he's sitting there with me, and he's like, whoa, what's that? What's going on there? And Killian is very aware. He pays attention so much better than Owen or Callan. Owen and Callan, they want to They just want to play all the time. Killian's got a very inquisitive mind.
Nature. He reminds me, like, he has the same personality and mentality similar like Eli. He likes to...
Yeah, very inquisitive.
Yeah, and he likes to, like, observe nature and stuff is what Eli... So Eli loves bugs.
Killian, he is... When the time arises that we get to go camping, he wants to come.
He's going
to
lose his mind out there.
He is so excited. I bought all the boys and Marjorie hammocks.
This is so his they nephew, have their own. By the way,
for yeah, listeners. Killian's Liette, my nephew, sister's son.
I gave my son yesterday morning. I gave Eli a leaf bug that I found before heading out, and that just like made his entire day because it was a giant leaf bug. I went out and moved cattle, did chores and stuff. I got back 2 hours later, and we're having coffee, and he comes up and he's still got this leaf bug. And his hand shows my wife. And she's like, "You still have that thing?" I was like, "Yeah." That's like 2 hours later. Why don't you let him go, buddy?
Yeah. So Killian, he's watching that video with me. Mm-hmm. And I myself, I hate snakes. They freak me out. I don't know if they're venomous, non-venomous. I don't know. I don't get snakes. I don't really want to know snakes. I don't like snakes. Well, he's sitting there. He was fascinated as to how one snake was devouring the other snake. And I was like, so this is a good snake. That's a bad snake. Yeah. That's as far as I know.
Good snake, bad snake. I know snakes just because I grew up, you know, running around in the woods and stuff and spent a lot of time in Arkansas where there are plenty of poisonous snakes. So
Oklahoma has got a good population as well.
They do, but I spent most of my time in the wilderness in Arkansas because that's where my cousin lived. So that's where, because I lived in the city in Oklahoma. So if I was spending time in the woods, it was most of the time in Arkansas or with my friends from Arkansas and Tulsa. So that behind your parents' old house. It's pretty much the only times I was in the woods in Oklahoma was over there.
I'm surprised we did not camp more out there behind that house.
We were so into paintball, though, and we only camped once. But the one time we did camp, we set up camp in the dark in a field of poison sumac or something. And the next day had like
I ingested it.
We used it as like freaking hot dog roasting sticks.
I mean, stupid.
Never set up camp. It was a life lesson learned. You know, since then I've never set up camp in the dark, or I've never selected a campsite in the dark.
Yeah, I was gonna say we've set up camp.
We have, but we've always, I don't know if you've noticed, but we've always selected campsites in the daylight, though, since that day, in that fateful day in 2007 or 2006 or whatever it was.
I don't know when it was. All I know is I was still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school.
There's like six of us that went out there.
Scratching myself for the rest of the
I know the next Sunday. Week. I know Sunday you could tell who all went camping because the in the middle of the sermon, you could look out across the auditorium of 1,000 people and you could see the dudes that were squirming in their seats because their crotches were itching because they got poison sumac all
and
over
the only
their
one that really wasn't squirming was Matt.
Yeah.
It was very annoying. That week of school was brutal.
Yeah, it was no fun.
I did get a pass, though, when it came to scratching my junk.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
Did the teacher gave you an actual pass?
No.
You're allowed to scratch your junk.
No, I think everybody, when I walked in and they could see that I was covered from head to toe with little dots of poison sumac. And I had to tell them because everybody was like, "What happened to you?" And I'm just swollen, head to toe. And they're like, "What did you do?" And I'm like,
"I just it just occurred to me. We haven't talked in a while. We haven't done the podcast in a while. I had shingles since we've last talked." Yeah.
What is shingles?
It's an old man disease or old man sickness you typically don't get until you're in your 60s.
Is that a farming thing?
No, shingles is it's basically a form of chicken pox. So if you've had chicken pox before, you usually will get shingles later on when you're older. Usually in your 50s
or
60s.
So you're old, huh?
I guess. Occasionally, you can get it in your 30s, I guess. Usually, if you have...
So, who did you see that had shingles?
No, I had chicken pox when I was a kid.
I know, but...
You get it from yourself if you've had chicken pox before. Basically, if you have chicken pox, the reason why you're immune to it is because it's still there.
I had chicken pox years ago. Yeah. What's funny is... Basically, we didn't know chicken pox back in the day. You're of the mindset, like my parents, you get all the kids sick, so you don't have to deal with it.
Yes, longer. Yeah, you had pox parties, you know, or whatever. And I had chicken pox when I was like five, and so like
Kaylin had to go hang out with one of my parents' friends' kids, and he always hung out in his little whitey tighties, and he was every bit of 4 or 5 years older than Kaylin, and I just thought it was. I had to go to school that day, and Kaylin had to go to.
Yeah. Kaylin had to go to chicken pox. Party. Yeah. When I got it, Brandon still wasn't in school yet because I was like 5 or 6. He wasn't in preschool yet, but my mom was like, go hang out with your brother. Like she was like. She was very adamant about us, like, being real, real friendly with each other that week. And then
the funny thing is, it's actually better if you don't pass it, because then you don't get shingles down the road.
Well, that's the problem, is that, here's the thing is with chickenpox, you want to get it when you're younger, because as an adult, it can be pretty bad. Like, when you're younger, it's pretty mild. Yeah, my dad had it in his 20s and almost died from chicken pox. Like, he got real sick, had to go to, like, the hospital and stuff. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. So you want it when you're younger, because as kids, you get a little itchy and you get a fever and that's it. You know?
So you gave it to your dad, too?
No, because I was like 5. He had already had chicken pox by then. And my parents were already divorced. They had just gotten divorced, so I was at my mom's house anyways. So shingles is a latent chickenpox virus, basically. It's just a dormant, and then it comes back to, you know.
So
and when you're older and your immune system isn't as good.
Did it knock you on your
butt? No. So this is what shingles is. It's like chickenpox, except times 1,000 when it comes to the sores. And then if you're older, it's like a real bad sickness. If you're in your 60s, it's pretty bad. My grandpa had shingles several years ago, and since he's had shingles, he's always cold. Like, that's why his house is always, you know, 75 degrees or whatever.
People that do that, like in the winter,
you'll see my grandfather in the summertime wearing sweats because he's chilly if it's 70 degrees out. Like, it's chilly for
him.
That's
nuts.
Yeah, since he's had shingles, because it'll mess up your nervous system.
In the winter, I go to customers' homes, and now this year I probably won't, but I've got guys now that go to people's homes. But in the past, whenever I'd have to go to homes, and I walk in the door and they've got the house at 75 to 80 degrees, I'm like, good night, man.
Yeah.
Why do you gotta have your house? Why are you keeping it so hot?
Yeah, I keep
in the winter. My house stays year round. I try to keep my house at around 73 degrees.
That's what I target for the wintertime. In the summertime, I was also set. My thermostat set to 73 in the wintertime. I will get my house warmer, but I heat my house with a wood-burning stove. But usually, I'll get it warmer than 73 only before I'm going to bed. I kind of preheat the house for overnight, you know. So that way, when I wake up, it's 67 degrees, not 57 degrees. So it might be 80 when I go to sleep. But the fire dies down overnight, and it gets colder overnight. So, but yeah. So since shingles, my grandfather has been like, it was bad for him. Now shingles, what it usually does is sores will present themselves, and they usually tend to follow like nervous system, like your nervous system, trails or whatever, like your nerves. So you have these nerves that run along here. So I have this one sore, fortunately.
He's rubbing under his armpit.
Under my arm, like right
around to his nipple.
Yeah. So basically,
that's the here, just so you know.
Yeah. So there's like this band, I guess, that runs from your sternum horizontally around your back to your spine. and you have nerves there, and there, and you have a set, another cluster of nerves that is on the opposite side. So the weirdest thing is I have this one sore. Now, when you're older, or sometimes people get worse shingles, they get sores all over. And what they do, I got pictures.
Uh-oh.
I'll show you.
Hopefully they're PG, at least.
I'll show you what the sores look like, man. So at first it looked like I thought I had like a bunch of bug bites and blisters. But then like and then it like got worse, and I looked at it and I was like, man, this is either shingles or a staph infection. And then I had a friend of mine from Kansas City, who's a doctor. He came down to drop off an RV for me to work on, because he was in the area for a wedding. And he'll be back in next month, and we were hanging out and talking for the afternoon, and he's a doctor, and he's like, oh, he confirmed it. So I have an unofficial diagnostic. He's like, oh, it's definitely shingles. And I wish I would have known about it, because when their sores are open, it's infectious. Oh, and shoot. My kids have not had chicken pox yet. So I could have given them chicken pox if I was aware of it. But by the time I found out for sure and got a sure diagnosis, I wasn't contagious anymore. But what it does is it hurts. Like, it itches at first, and then it feels like you burn. Like I burn, like I got a cast iron skillet put, like I have a third degree burn, it feels like, back there. And it's worse. Jeez. Yeah. And it's like breaks out and it spread. And I have like this, I had this rash that itched, but it was weird because it stopped like right at the sternum, like directly at it. Nothing on the right side. Everything is directly in it. And that's why he was like, oh, it's definitely shingles, because it follows right on your nerve clusters. It stops right there at the sternum. It's like it was shingles. And
so your left side was irritated, but not your right at all?
Not the right. Yeah, because it's a different nerve cluster, and the shingles, I guess, didn't infect that side for some reason. Yeah. Apparently, it's better to get shingles when you're in your 30s. It's much more mild than when you're in your 50s or 60s. And you typically won't get it a second time, but you can.
That's unreal.
It is. And the crazy thing, another crazy thing about shingles is, like, there's not much to prevent it. Because even if you didn't get chickenpox as a kid, you get any, if the only way to not ever get shingles is to never come in contact with chickenpox. Even if you get the vaccine is, you know, it's a innocuous portion of the virus. It'll give you immunity to chickenpox, but you'll still potentially get shingles, because you have the chickenpox strain, or the, you know, chickenpox virus in your body. So it's weird, man. Let me see. My wife, I couldn't see on my back, so my wife took pictures for me and sent it to me when she was checking on it for me. If I can find the pictures. There's also a bunch of pictures of cattle.
We don't want to see that.
No cattle, man. Actually, she may have taken pictures with my own phone. So I have a picture of it, like, recently.
Yeah, I don't want to get it now. It kind of has me nervous. Because I had it. I had chicken pox.
This is what, that's what it kind of looked like.
Golly. Yeah. Ugh.
That was afterwards. That was when it was less disgusting. Man, it was blistery, and it was not comfortable. And I was crawling around underneath the truck. I didn't know I had shingles. I thought it was just bug bites. I was crawling around underneath the truck, working on Brandon's Escalade, and irritating the crap out of that thing. Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing that you get in your 30s.
Jeez.
I didn't get a fever or anything, so that was cool, you know. But yeah, since you've had chickenpox, that's something to look forward to. That's something that you didn't know you had to think about when you go to sleep at night. In some case, like, I got lucky because it was only that one sore. If I had those sores all over my body, like 5 or 6 of them, I'd be like, I wouldn't be able to do anything. I would be incapacitated from the sores, not from like being sick. It'd be incapacitated from the sores alone. Because like I couldn't. There was a point when it hurt so bad that I was like, oh, I definitely have to take it easy today. And it was where it was at on my back. I couldn't like do anything too physical, because if I'm moving around and I get sweaty, and my shirt will stick to my back and it'll hurt, or it'd stick to the sore and they like peel the shirt off. No fun. So that's fun, kids. You know, you can get shingles in your 30s, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was just the weirdest thing ever. I was like, what am I, a freaking 50-year-old guy? You know, which was weird. I bet church, and you know, most of the guys that I talk to and hang out with are, they're older. And so like the guys, one of the guys I was talking to, he's in his 50s. And
we're talking. Whoa, back up.
And no, we're talking about shingles. You know, he had shingles one time, and we're talking about, and I'm like, what? I'm like, am I an old man now? Like, we're just like chit-chatting at church, like about the time we had shingles. You know how old people do. So, have you noticed that that comprises, at some point in time when you get to a certain age, that's like 80% of your conversation with other people is talking about your ailments.
Well, yeah.
Have you noticed that? Like, you
I hurt all the time, and that's a conversation all the time.
Right, but you go to church. You know, you go to church. You see two 60-year-old dudes talking. You could, from a distance, you would be pretty darn accurate if you're like they're talking about their sicknesses, their ailments. You walked over there. You 90% of the time, you would be right. They'd be talking about that time that, you know, I've got this bum knee, and I tell you what, it acts up whenever it's cold or.
So this past.
If it isn't ailments, it's weather.
Yesterday. Not to change the subject, but I'm going to change the subject.
Okay.
I getting ready to leave the property. I had to go take some equipment to one of my guys. And as I'm getting ready to leave, a police officer pulls up. Now, we've been parking because we're in the middle of construction here at our property. And he pulls up, and we've got three vehicles sitting across the street at Regal Car Sales on the outside of their property, but on their property. And we're like, great. He's coming to tell us that we need to stop parking over there or something. So he pulls up, he gets out, he comes over, and I was like, hey, how can I help you? And he goes, well, I was curious if you've seen this. There's a Hispanic guy that we found that he might have been wearing some Dickie pants and a blue polo shirt, and then he looks around curiously, like, make sure none of my customers are around. And he's like, we found him dead in the creek over here. I'm like, oh, all right. He goes, I just want to make sure you have all your employees. I'm like, yeah, the only Hispanic guy, well, he's right there. He's digging.
Wow.
I said, he's the only Hispanic guy I've got. And he actually goes, good. I'm glad he's getting well. Yeah. But that was pretty funny. But at the same time, I was like, gee whiz.
Yeah. It's always good to just checking.
If you need video footage, I've got cameras. Yeah, we could, yeah. You can watch till your heart's content.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting.
But other news, yeah. We're possibly going to be buying this
property,
1.6 acres behind the office.
That'll be real good. That'll be a lot of parking.
Oh, yeah.
So much room for activities.
So the plan is, if we do get that, she wants $350,000 for that property.
Ooh.
With an abandoned house on it.
And it does it have a house frontage?
It does.
It does have memorial frontage?
It does. Okay. Go ahead and Google 8119. Actually, here, I'll pull it up.
Yeah.
Because I know my address a little bit better.
Yeah. So, in unrelated news, I'm going to be, well, I guess it's somewhat real estate. I've moved up the timeline for some of my bathroom remodels on my master bathroom.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because two nights ago, I accidentally broke the faucet on my tub, so.
That's a bum deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure was. I was, it was my last act of the night. I'm getting glass of water. Right. I'm getting a glass of water. I'm getting ready to go to bed.
Sure. Okay. That was the last act?
Yeah. That was the last. I was tired. My eyes are drooping. I'm ready to go to sleep. Two nights ago. I've got a glass full of water. A plastic cup full of water in my hand. I walk across the bathroom. And when I walk across the bathroom, I caught something with my foot. I'm thinking it was the floor vent, maybe, because it's about the area that my right foot just... I kept walking. I was walking, but my right foot stayed behind.
Good times.
And so as I'm walking, my right foot ain't moving, and I'm falling, okay? Now I'm falling, and I'm faced with, I have to make a split-second decision. I'm falling in the direction of either the sharp corner of my countertop for the bathroom sink, right? Or I can lean and divert and head to the tub, right? all while holding a glass full of water that I don't want to spill on the ground because I don't want to get water everywhere, right?
Right.
As I'm falling, I freaking linebacker shoulder check the cold water faucet on the on the tub and break the knob clean off. I fall. Ow. I fall into the tub. Glass still upright, by the way. Haven't dropped a single drop of water out of this cup. But I've just knocked the cold water faucet off, so there's a geyser coming out of my bathtub. And it's a deck mount faucet. You know, it's not a side mount in the tub, so it's vertical. It's on the top of the tub. So the faucet is facing straight towards the ceiling, so the water is not shooting out into the tub like a side mount faucet.
It's shooting literally a geyser
shooting straight up into the air, all because I didn't want to spill my cup of water or bash my face on the corner. So I divert to the tub, and I could not have predicted that. If I would have known, obviously, that I'm going to make a geyser, I would have just...
How bad did that hurt?
You know what's funny? I woke up the next morning, I didn't have a single bruise, I didn't feel a thing. But the faucet, you know, it's plastic. So, oh,
okay.
Yeah, so like where it snapped it, I snapped the plastic clean off. I hit it in such a manner that it didn't take much force, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So now my wife has just gotten in bed and she hears a crash and then water everywhere. Right. And she asks me, are you okay?
Well, I'm good. But the,
right.
The ceiling is getting soaked.
I'm half asleep. Right. Cause I was falling asleep on the couch and I was getting ready to go to bed. So I'm half asleep and now I am wide awake. I am cattywampus in the tub. Right, legs sticking out, shoulder down into the tub, glass of water. I'm trying to evaluate what life decisions led me to this point, right? And she's asking me if I'm okay, and I'm still trying to take it all in.
She said, yeah, so, I'm good. We're having a sexy time in here. Come on in.
Right, so I don't respond. So she just hears a big crashing and water, and she thinks I've knocked myself clean out. So she thinks I'm knocked out. I don't respond because I'm still absorbing it all and trying to figure out my next course of action. She comes in to find me in the tub with a glass of water, upright, not spilled, and my legs sticking out and a geyser shooting up into the sky. And she's like, what did you do? And I'm like, I tripped. And the shut off for that faucet is outside. The access for that's outside the house. So now at 11 o'clock at night, I was half asleep. I've tripped, fallen, created a geyser. Now I've got to go. I've already taken my contacts out. I'm ready for bed. Now I've got to go out blurry eyed in a rush to shut this geyser off. I got to open this access panel, which is not like easy to open. So I'm trying to pull my wall, like it's the outside wall. So I'm like trying to pull this access panel loose. It really is best removed with tools, but I'm in a hurry. So I'm trying to pry it with my bare hands. Anyway, so I run outside and I get it shut off. I get the water shut off. I did discover though, when I had that access panel open, that it was leaking at the shut off valve anyways. It was dripping a little bit. So I need to do some plumbing work there anyways. All right. So, if I hadn't done that, I would have had a slow drip that would have caused water damage that I would have never discovered.
By wintertime, it'd probably been more of a freezing.
Yeah, could have been a problem. So it's a good thing, I guess, sort of. But I had planned on, because the plan was for that bathtub was to replace that faucet with they have shower conversion kits. Turn that tub into a tub/shower, right? Get rid of my shower because I don't need a tub and a shower. I can just make a tub shower combo.
I got a fancy shower now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's a glass wall shower with really fancy tile work down on the inside. I can't wait to get to use it.
That's good. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you only bought your house 9 months ago, so.
Yeah. But I got every bit of a $40,000 upgrade.
Oh, yeah. It's
two bathrooms.
It's a major inconvenience that you haven't been in your house for 9 months, but it is kind of nice that
it's got like
an insurance remodel.
Yeah, I mean, the average person when they buy a home, especially if they're the rich, is they like Antonio, with 18 Plumbing. He's got a remodel that he's doing on a plumbing remodel that he's doing on a house that it was a $3 million home when the guy bought it.
Oh, really?
And he said that the guy that owns the house, according to Antonio, he said, yeah, I want you to go ahead and gut the entire house when it comes to plumbing and heat and air. Take all of it out, and we're going to start over. So he's got a guy for a month now has been just taking out old plumbing. That's all he's been doing.
Some people just have so much money.
And the thing is, that's not going to, what he's having done is not going to raise the value of the house just because you put PEX tubing versus metal tubing.
Nah, it's just what the guy wants, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah,
sure.
But Antonio's like, he said he wanted it all done. So we're getting it all done.
Getting it all done.
And I guess Antonio does not like doing a heat and air job at the same time as the plumbing. So once they get done with the plumbing, then they start that heat and air.
That kind of makes sense. Keep your workflow in the organized.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Anyways,
back to this.
The property that you guys are going to be picking up there.
So this, obviously, is formerly a liquor store.
Uh-huh.
Her son lives here at this house. It's about in the same shape.
Is that store closed down?
Yes. She's now trying to turn it into a daycare.
I know that store. I've seen that. Yeah, I know that place.
So
that's all part of that property.
Yeah, she's trying to now turn this into a daycare, but there's an abandoned house behind this, and there's no way. So, come here, Ainsley.
Yeah.
So, this house is probably more in the same shape as your house that you were living in before you moved out to.
Okay, so it's like it's livable but not nice. It needs updating.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah.
And then we have the abandoned house behind there.
But it has two. But is that that liquor store is part of the building too, or part of the property too? It is. So yeah. There's two occupiable buildings.
And then there's a garage back
with
here.
Memorial frontage, and it's 1.6 acres. $350 might not be so an entirely unreasonable price.
Our bank already pulled the numbers and said it's worth $235.
Okay.
We're going to have an appraisal done, and it might come in at 2.25. Might come in at 245.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Either way, I like those numbers a lot better than I like $350.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's definitely better. Did I tell you my my neighbor closed on his mom's house, So
from his siblings?
Yeah. So, you know, he had to buy his siblings out, right? They had this. So, originally, his sister was just going to be like, you can have my third. But then his brother was like, no, you got to pay me. And then his sister changed her tune and now decided she wants to get paid. So, he had said, well, let's just factor the house at, you know, let's say it's worth $150. And his brother insisted they get an appraisal, right? So he gets an appraisal because his brother thinks it's worth more and he can get more. They get an appraisal. The appraisal comes in at like $130 or $120. So it came in less. So he got less because his brother insisted on an appraisal. Insisted on it. Wouldn't just accept $150 as the acceptable number, right? And then he'd have to pay them, you know, $50 apiece, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't accept this. So instead, now he's paying his siblings $40 apiece instead. So that's what you get for being a freaking weirdo about it. I will not understand that. But he did close on it, so now he owns it. He unfortunately had to pay $80,000 for it, but you know, he owns it now, so
cool.
Yeah, so that's secure, which is good. It's good for me because, you know, I use that property.
Yeah, I was gonna say your pasture lands are locked in.
Right, and it's easiest to get back there. I really wanted it to be titled only exclusively in his name before we worked on trying to get in an easement, because I need, we've talked about this, him and I have talked about this over the last couple of years since I moved there, that they're going to work on getting an easement there, but we do have to go.
We got to call it a day.
Yeah, we got to call it a day. We're running behind. No breaks, no sponsorship, nothing today. Until the next time, folks, we'll talk at y'all later.